We're continuing our series this Lent about the ones who witnessed the cross, those who in the Gospels gathered around the scene of the crucifixion and what they can show us about the meanings and the lessons and what we learn from the cross. So our scripture this morning comes from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. You and me, we are beloved children together. You and me, we are beloved family together. That's the promise of the cross. Now, I know that's not the normal promise we tend to think about when we consider the cross. But the scene that we encounter in the scripture this morning, it has a different feeling than much of what happens with the other witnesses of the cross. Here we have the beloved disciple and Mary, Jesus' mother, hearing some final words from their friend and son. If you came across this passage completely out of context, you wouldn't even really know there was a cross and a crowd and a whole big event happening on that Good Friday. Instead, it reads almost familiar. Here is Jesus making plans for those he loves after he dies. As a pastor, because we have the honor of doing so many funerals, I know that I think about end-of-life things more than most people my age. Because I've been through situations and had my friends go through situations where people didn't have their wishes clear. I remember I had a friend who went to meet with a family to plan a funeral, and the family all said, "Well, we know that Mom had plans for her funeral somewhere, but we just don't know where they are. We've looked everywhere." They assumed they were lost until a grandchild showed up and said, "Oh, Grandma told me she put those in the freezer." Sure enough, they opened the freezer and they found some well-preserved, although very cold, funeral plans. Not a bad place to keep your funeral plans safe, although make sure you tell your family that's where they are. So I've become kind of a proponent of having these clear and well-communicated plans, and so I appreciate what Jesus is doing here. He's caring for those closest to him. He's making sure that even in the midst of his own death, that his wishes are clear. He wants the beloved disciple to care for his mother. He wants his mother to look at the beloved disciple as her own son. A new family is formed here at the foot of the cross. But of course, like every scene and witness at the cross, there's more going on here than we see on the surface. Because while yes, the beloved disciple does care for Mary because of this request from Jesus, there's also more here. We have to ask, well, why is this encounter recorded here in the Gospel of John? What is John trying to communicate when he writes this in his gospel? What message is there for us today? Well, let's first take a minute and look at the characters that are in this exchange, and then we can consider the message of this passage. First, we have Jesus, the one making the request, and it really reads more of a command than a request. Really, this fits with John's account of the crucifixion. In John, Jesus always appears to be in control during the entire arrest and trial and crucifixion. This is the Son of God being lifted up to glory. This is the Son of God in control, not just in the present, but in the entire future. And then there's Mary, Jesus' mother. We don't know where the rest of Jesus' earthly family is at this point. The only two mentioned are Mary and her sister. But as the eldest child, this responsibility to care for his mother would have fallen to Jesus. And then there's the beloved disciple, or the disciple that Jesus loved. This idea of the beloved disciple, it occurs only in the Gospel of John. And there have been countless people who've thought and written about who this could be. Some say John, it's John, the gospel writer and disciple. Some say Lazarus. Some say Mary Magdalene or another woman. Some say it's not a real character at all, and it's supposed to be a way that we can see ourselves in the story. But I'm not sure here that all that speculation is what's important. Instead, the presence of the beloved disciple here at the cross shows us that Jesus isn't alone in this moment. In John, all the disciples don't abandon Jesus at the cross. Jesus has those that he loves and that love him as witnesses to the cross. You and me, we are beloved children together. You and me, we are beloved family together. That's the promise of the cross. And that's really what's going on here. Jesus is building family for the future. Jesus is showing us that we belong to each other. Just as the beloved disciple and Mary become family because of Jesus, we become family with one another because of Jesus. This is an especially meaningful message to the community of new believers that John writes this gospel to. Many of them have left family to follow Christ. Many of them have been disowned by those closest to them because of their decision to follow Christ. But this encounter at the cross reminds them that family isn't defined by biology or by marriage, but by Christ. That promise that we belong to each other, it still holds true today. Because of the cross, we always have family in the church. When we talk about church family or being brothers and sisters in Christ, we do this because on the cross, Jesus says we belong to each other. Now, in many ways, we already live into this in our church. It's why we care about kids in the foster care system, because we believe we belong to each other, that those kids belong to us and us to them, not because of any sort of blood relation or familial relation, but because we belong to Christ. It's why so many times when I go visit people in the hospital or make phone calls, the one request I get from them or from their family is to just let their church family know what's going on, because we believe that we belong to each other. But of course, this promise, it's also challenging, because sometimes it can be difficult to belong to each other. Sometimes it can be hard to see each other as family, because we disagree with each other, because we don't have the same priorities or beliefs, because we have to go out of our way and think of others first. I'm sure bringing Mary into his house wasn't the easiest thing for the beloved disciple, but he did it because he believed that because of the cross, we belong to each other. You and me, we are beloved children together. You and me, we are beloved family together. That's the promise of the cross. On the cross, Jesus is building family for the future by showing us that we belong to each other and that we belong to God. Part of being family together through Jesus means that we really are children of God. Because of the cross, we can be part of God's family. We can always find home in God. We can always trust that we are children of God, no matter what. I was talking to some friends this week who adopted their toddler daughter. One friend was saying how he feels like he's constantly having to correct people who assume that they don't really see their daughter as theirs because she's adopted. He says to them, "Well, of course she's my daughter. I look at her and I always see my child. She's mine. She's my child." And he went on to say that he wonders if people don't do that because they have so hard time believing that they could belong to somebody. So they project that on to them. And then he went on to say he wonders if even sometimes people view their identity as God's children like this. Like that there's no way that God can look at us and see us as his children all the time. That we aren't good enough or that we don't belong enough for that. But what if the cross shows us that God loves us so much that God will always look at us and see family? That God will always think of us and think, "Right there, that's my child." If family is defined by the cross, if family is defined by the love shown at the cross, then we never have to worry about not belonging in God's family. You and me, we are beloved children together. You and me, we are beloved family together. That's the promise of the cross. On the cross, Jesus is building family for the future by showing us that we belong to each other and that we belong to God, and by showing us that we belong to the here and now. In this exchange between Jesus and the beloved disciple and Mary, there's this clear emphasis on the immediate future, on how they're supposed to continue to live in the here and now. The cross isn't about the beloved disciple going where Jesus is going to go. It's been clear throughout Jesus' life that's not really the point. So while the beloved disciple can't go with Jesus now, he can live each day how Jesus has commanded him to live. Sometimes when we think about the death and resurrection of Jesus, I think we get caught up just thinking about the faraway future, about life eternal. We narrow it down to Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven and that we can go to heaven when we die. And that's while that's what Jesus is doing on the cross, it's also only a tiny sliver of what's happening on the cross. If Jesus was just trying to get people to heaven, why would he take the time to talk to the beloved disciple and Mary about how they were going to live here on earth? Why would the beloved disciple take this commandment so seriously that we're told that from this very hour, he takes Mary not just to care for her, but into his own home? There's more going on here. On the cross, Jesus shows us that we belong in the here and now. Our lives change right now because of the cross. Just like the beloved disciple, we live differently right now because we have witnessed the cross. Because of the cross, the beloved disciple brings Mary into his family, into his life, into his home. Because of the cross, the beloved disciple dedicates his life to spreading the good news of Jesus. And because of the cross, our lives change right now. Because of the cross, we seek to live with each other as siblings in Christ. We live into that promise and that challenge that we belong to each other. Not because it's easy, but because it's the way that Jesus has provided for us to follow him. And so because of the cross, we seek to belong to each other. We take seriously the call to care for one another. We take seriously the call to be family to each other. We don't run from the challenges this presents, but we seek to live and grow into them. When you disagree with a sibling in Christ, you don't leave them, you love them. When you find a sibling in Christ kind of annoying, you don't ignore them, you pray for them. And you pay special attention to those who are often left out, to those told that they don't belong in the family of God. Because the truth is, we all belong in the family of Christ, young and old, new and here forever, all races and backgrounds, Democrats, Republicans, independents, and those who don't even care, outgoing and quiet, single, married, divorced, widowed, we're all family in Christ. We belong to each other, and we live that way right now, because that's what we see on the cross. And we do that because we belong to God, right now, not just when we go to heaven when we die. Right now, we are God's children. Right now, Christ is with us. You and me, we are beloved children together. You and me, we are beloved family together. That's the promise of the cross. On the cross, Jesus is building family for the future. He does that in this exchange with the beloved disciple and Mary, by showing us that we belong to each other, that we belong to God, and that we belong in the here and now. Right now, we live as siblings in Christ. Right now, we live as children of God. You and me, we are beloved children together. You and me, we are beloved family together. That's the promise of the cross. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you that because of the cross, we belong to you and that we belong to each other. Help us to live into those promises. Help us to live into those challenges, even now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.